And today we're all blessed as we have reached, by the end of today's gatha with Guru Sahib's kirpa, we will have reached the halfway point of undertaking this discourse, of coming together and learning together about the teachings contained in Japji Sahib, which is a bani given to us to help us learn about our true selves, to learn about who we really are underneath this body, behind these clothes, behind the mind, to realize the soul, that thing which is time immemorial that connects all of us, that part of God, that light that resounds from within. And today we're reaching the 19th Bodhi. So first we started what seemed like so many moons ago, trying to scratch the surface of the Siri Mool Mantar, the mantar that comes first, the first Shabad in Guru Granth Sahib Ji Maharaj. We learnt that Ek Oankar, that there is one God, that He comes by many names, which we will learn about today. But we learnt that whether you are a Muslim, whether you're a Hindu, whether you are a Christian, that in fact you may have your own name for that Lord, but it is only the name that you can take ownership of. But in fact the Lord, the light, the creator, the organizer, the destroyer of all of us, the deliverer of all of us back into themselves, is Paramatma, is Waheguru. We learned that they have no fear, no hatred, that nobody gave them permission to come into being. And after the Mool Mantar, we commenced Japji Sahib with the first Bodhi. So the first Shabad is Mool Mantar, and then the first Bodhi of Japji Sahib commenced thereafter with Soche Sochna Hove. The Siddhs, those holy beings at the time, were speaking to Guru Nanak, and they were asking Guru Nanak about the ways that they would practice. And what would the Siddhs do? They would keep themselves very clean. They would keep their mouths quiet. They would abstain from eating food, and they would collect knowledge. And Guru Nanak, in that very first Bodhi, that very first verse, explained that whilst you may keep your body clean, this is not a way to God, because your mind will still be dirty. That if you were to keep your mouth from speaking and become a moni, become quiet with your lips, that wouldn't stop your mind clamoring around and making the loudest voices that deafen you from inside. That if you stop eating food and that you were to fast, like some religions believe that fasting will bring them towards God, that just by abstaining from eating food doesn't stop the desires of the mind. And that finally, collecting knowledge, what knowledge can you collect that will allow you to complete Waheguru? That one that is asankh, we've been learning for the last 2 weeks, that one who is beyond count. Guru Nanak said no, that these ways, these physical ways that are outward manifestations, outward practices, no. That the true way to realize God, says Guru Nanak to us, our beloved Guru Nanak, the true way is to live in acceptance of the hukam. And so the Siddhs in the following Bodhi ask Guru Nanak to explain what it means to refer to when we speak of the hukum. And Guru Nanak says, hukum na ke hajai. They say that nobody can speak of the hukum. You're asking me to explain to you what the hukum is? Guru Nanak says that nobody can speak of the hukum of Waheguru. But of course, Guru Nanak is the hukum of Waheguru. And they go on in that bodhi to explain to us so perfectly what that hukum is. Hukumi hovan akad, hukum na ke hajai, hukumi hovan ji. That all of the ji, all of creation is within the hukum. And that those that can understand this, those that accept the hukum, like Bhai Bekari, who was visited by Gurumukh, if you can remember the Sakhi that we shared together, who even though he knew that his son was going to pass, because he was a Brahmgyani, because he was completely in love with Waheguru, he didn't wish to change anything because he saw the hukum as that which would be supreme. And for a Gurmukh Pyara, it's not to live in regret and look back and think, why did that happen? Because for a Gurmukh Pyara, who accepts that all is perfect and in accordance with Waheguru's hukum, is to live with no regret. Because we're accepting and understanding that all that comes to pass, all that comes to bear, is indeed Waheguru's hukum. that one that controls everything, the Siddha went on and asked Guru Nanak, if you're saying that everything is within his hukum, he must be very strong. Speak to us about the extent of his strength, asked the Siddha to Guru Nanak. And Guru Nanak says, Gaave ko taan, hove ke setan, that only that one who is merged with God can speak of God. Only that one who's been given that blessing, who's been given the gifts of his own strength, can speak of the strength of the Lord. And the Siddhas go on to speak with Guru Nanak, and we learn in the next body why we refer to Guru Nanak or Guru Har Gobind Sahib Ji as Sacha Sahib or Sache Patshah. The Siddhas say to Guru Nanak, what language does God speak? Does he speak Hindi, Urdu, Farsi, German, French? What language is it that God speaks? Because the Siddhas were very educated in the world, and they were hoping that Guru Nanak would say a language that they possessed, such that they could perhaps monopolize Guru Nanak's teachings of God. But Guru Nanak, that form of God, what did they say? When the Siddhas asked Guru Nanak, what language does God speak? Guru Nanak says, Pakya Pao. The language which God speaks is the language of love. Sadhsangaji, have you ever heard such a line of speaking of truth? Guru Nanak is saying to the Siddhas, you've got it all wrong. I've already told you that it's not about knowledge in the worldly sense. You want to know which language God speaks? It's the language of love. When you walk past somebody that's in need and you stop rather than walking straight past, and you help that person by giving them food if they're homeless. When you walk past someone that's being persecuted, as Guru Sahib has done many times, and stopped and said, hey, I will stand for your right to be free. When you raise a flag into the sky outside your Dharamsal, which goes on to be called a Gordora, and you say to the whole dunya, if you're hungry, look in the sky. Where my flag is, Guru Amar Das Ji says, come to that place and I will feed you, I will feed your family. And if your family is being persecuted, Guru Har Gobind Sahib Ji says, come to that place where the Nishan Sahib is, and my people, they carry weapons, and they'll stand for your right to be free. That is the language of love being spoken without words. That is the language of love in action. And so Guru Nanak Dev Ji teaches us that the language we should learn to speak to God is the language of love. Obviously, we should learn Gurmukhi, we should learn Punjabi, so that we can read about those perfect examples of love. But the true language we should learn to speak is a language of love. And the Siddhas go on and ask Guru Nanak, okay, this Paramatma, this one light that fills all, who gave him permission to come into being? Or who was he born from? And Guru Nanak explains, Thapya na jai, kita na hoi, that nobody gave Paramatma permission to come into being because they were beyond creation. Nobody gave birth, or nobody was responsible for Waheguru being born, because they were Aad Sach Saryako, Jugaad Sach, Happy Sach, Nanak Hosi Pi Sach. They were true before the time was even created. They were true when the ages came to be. Happy Sach, they are true right now, they are with us and they are true right now. Nanak Hosi Pi Sach. This truth, Sadhsangaji, when others were saying that Waheguru is far away and that you might get to meet him if you're good in this life, Guru Nanak is saying, no, Waheguru is closer to you than even your hands and feet, says Guru Granth Sahib Ji Maharaj. No, he's not far away living on a cloud, but if you want to experience God, that one who speaks a language of love, recognize that he is part and parcel of every part of creation. And we'll learn more about these teachings with Guru Sahib's blessings today. The Siddhas went on and asked Guru Nanak about what it means to have a good name, what it means to live a long life, because the Siddhas possessed the powers, they possessed spiritual powers that allowed them to hold their breaths for so long that they would live far in excess of a normal human life. Hundreds of years, thousands of years the Siddhas would live. They would take their breath into their Dasam Dwar so that one breath would last for years. And it is said that the number of breaths is determined when you are born. So the Siddhas had learnt this. They'd learnt how to extend their breaths so that one breath would last so very long. And they asked Guru Nanak about this. And Guru Nanak is saying, ਜੈ ਜੁਗ ਚਾਰੇ ਆਰ ਜਾ ਹੋਰ ਦਸੁੰਨੀ ਹੋਏ ਨਵਾਂ ਖੰਡਾ ਵਿੱਚ ਜਾਣੀ ਹੈ ਨਾਲ ਚਲੇ ਸਭ ਕੋਏ ਚੰਗਾ ਨਵ ਰਖਾਈ ਕਹਿ ਜਸ ਕੀਰਤ ਜਗਲੇ ਜੇ ਤਿਸ ਨਦਰ ਨਾ ਆਵਈ ਤਾਂ ਵਾਤ ਨਾ ਪੁੱਛੇ ਕਿਆ ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ ਇਸ ਸਾਈਂ ਈਵਨ ਇਫ ਯੂ ਲਿਵ ਫੋਰ 10 ਯੁਗਸ ਈਵਨ ਇਫ ਯੂ ਲਿਵ ਫੋਰ ਮਿਲੀਅਨਸ ਆਫ ਈਅਰਸ ਐਂਡ ਐਵਰੀਬਾਡੀ ਨੋਜ਼ ਯੋਰ ਨੇਮ ਐਂਡ ਪੀਪਲ ਫੋਲੋ ਯੂ ਵੇਅਰਐਵਰ ਯੂ ਗੋ ਜੇ ਤਿਸ ਨਦਰ ਨਾ ਆਵਈ ਇਫ ਯੂ ਆਰ ਨੋਟ ਬਲੈਸਡ ਬਾਈ ਗੋਡ ਇਫ ਯੂ ਡੋਂਟ ਅਬਟੇਨ ਹਿਸ ਗਲਾਂਸ ਆਫ ਗ੍ਰੇਸ ਇਫ ਯੂ ਆਰ ਨੋਟ ਪਲੀਜ਼ਿੰਗ ਟੂ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਜੇ ਤਿਸ ਨਦਰ ਨਾ ਆਵਈ ਤਾਂ ਵਾਤ ਨਾ ਪੁੱਛੇ ਕਿ ਅ ਟਾਈਮ ਵਿਲ ਕਮ ਵਨ ਨੋ ਵਨ ਵਿਲ ਆਸਕ ਆਫ ਯੂ Satsanga ji, we can see many examples of those that thought they had conquered the entire world and yet their gravestones gathered dust and nobody knows their name. But our beloved Guru Nanak, they've touched the entire world because they spoke the language of love. They were the form of love. And whilst they claim no statues or stones, their name is being recognized all over the world now. There was an article in the BBC this week, and whilst this country is being torn apart by political rife, the BBC is saying that those that are suffering the most, where are they turning to in all of this chaos? They're turning to the free kitchens of Guru Nanak. The BBC is saying that in these times of crisis, where lots of people are poverty stricken and they're struggling, the recession is here, so on and so forth, that people of this country who were born in this country, who've been raised in this country, who are native to this land, that the place which they're turning to is where that flag rises, which we just spoke of. They come into the free kitchen of Guru Nanak, who speaks the language of love. And in this way, we should be so very grateful to have a part and play a part and parcel in the journey of those that come through that door. The Sidhs are asking Guru Nanak about what it means. And Guru Nanak is saying it's not about living a long life. It's not about having praise. It's about obtaining the grace, about obtaining the favorable glance of that one, which is Ardh Sach. After this, Guru Nanak had spoken earlier about the path of a Gursikh. That for a Gursikh, it's so very simple. We can try and make it complicated, and oftentimes, Sadhsangat Ji, we make it complicated to give our minds an excuse not to move forward in our Sikhi. But Guru Sahib has laid it out so clearly. They say the path of a Gursikh, they completely summarize it in one pangdi. Guru Sahib says, Gaviye, Suniye, Man Rakhiye Pao. Satsangat Ji, if we just take this away today, then we'll have taken away so much. Guru Sahib is saying that the path of a Gursikh to merge with God is as simple as this one pangdi, Gaviye, Suniye, Man Rakhiye Pao. That for a Gursikh, all we have to do is to start singing God's praises. Start listening to Kirtan and singing Kirtan. Start listening to Gurbani and singing Gurbani. Gaviye. But the trick, Satsangat Ji, is when we sing Gurbani, we're singing it so that we can hear it. Because Guru Sahib is saying that we should then go on to listen. Suniye. Gaviye, Suniye. Once we listen to Gurbani, Guru Sahib hasn't said anything about understanding just yet. Gatha is a beautiful gift, but it's the icing on the cake. The first two steps are just about singing and listening. And Guru Sahib is saying that once you sing Gurbani and then you go on to listen, then it is time to believe. To believe in those verses that they start informing your actions. Man rakhiye. When you start acting upon those beliefs, pao, then what happens? Pao, you become love. Gaviye, sing. Suniye, listen to what you're singing. Maniye, believe. Rakhiye, act. And then what do you get? Pao, you become one with that language of love. You get to experience that bliss, Satsangat Ji, which is like, it's like being electrocuted. It's like having thousands of volts of electricity going through you. You'll feel a bliss unmatched by anything you can purchase at Westfield. You'll feel a bliss unmatched by anyone's love in this world that they can give you. And you'll cry tears of joy. And your only fear will be that you are going to go a day without experiencing that feeling. Everything else will mean nothing. We call this bairag. When you fall totally in love with God and they give that glance of grace to you, that you get to experience that love, your only fear will be like a baby's fear when all she wants to do is be with her mother. There's nothing else in this world. All that she wants to do is be in the arms of her father. Nothing else matters. And so, having discussed the importance of listening, for about a month, we went through the Suniye Poriya, the four verses which talk to us, which teach us, which educate us about the importance of listening. Having heard about the importance of acting on the teachings and how the world was created, we spoke about the importance of listening. And then we spent about a month talking about the importance of those that listen and the extent of those that go on to believe, and then finally those that act. And for the last 2 weeks, Sadhsangaji, the Siddhas are asking Guru Nanak about creation. And they're asking Guru Nanak to explain the characteristics of creation. And Guru Nanak, I think 2 weeks ago, explained that everything in creation, all of the aspects of creation, can be divided into three characteristics: Rajogun, Tamogun, and Satogun. And Guru Nanak explained that Satogun, the actions of the pious who are trying to be truthful and nice and kind and polite, that is the best characteristics in this world. That is the best characteristic confined within the prison of this maya, of this illusion. And that after Satogun is Rajogun, the ways of kings, the ways of luxury, those that dress smart to impress perhaps, who live a luxurious life, that is the next way within the confines of maya, within the confines of this world. And then last week, Sadhsangaji, we spoke about Tamogun, the third characteristic in maya, the third characteristic within which everything, all of our actions can be categorized, which was Tamogun, the way of darkness, the way of the fools. And we learned about the different types of fools that exist in this world. We heard about the father and his two sons, and how the father was calling his sons a fool and a blind fool, but he in fact was the most blind of them all. We learned about Nindak, those people that do Nindya, who do slander. And quite surprisingly, but very helpfully, we learned that Guru Gobind Singh Ji Maharaj classes Nindya amongst the lowest ranks of all the things we can do. Even worse than taking tobacco, which is Jagat Dijud, one of the worst things you can do. Even worse than taking alcohol, Guru Sahib says that those people that slander people, who spread falsehood about people behind their backs, that they will have to suffer and their generations will have to suffer because of such a horrible activity to take place in. That those that do Nindya, it's like throwing dirt upon their head. Sadhsangaji, don't do it. If we're in a room and you happen to hear someone talking about somebody else, just don't be a part of the conversation and stand for righteousness and truth, just walk away. If there's two people doing Nindya and one of them walks away, you're doing them both a favor. Because they can't, unless they're going to talk to themselves. So we learn about Nindya and we learn about the ways of darkness.